The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Welcome to The Rescue Worker. Thank you for joining us today for this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are on our sixth week and we are studying the baptism of Jesus, and we just studied the baptism of Jesus, and today we study about his ancestors, his family. It will be a very interesting study, and I'm glad that you're part of this community of Jesus apprentices, where we are trying to learn how to love, how to serve, and how to be like Jesus. As part of this community, the community of Jesus apprentices, we have a very clear goal, model for our lives. And the model for our lives is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is the direction that Jesus apprentices, they try to live out. They try to accomplish. This is the way. And I pray that God is helping you to live out this loving style of being, loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. Well, on this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we choose a Bible verse to memorize every week. And the Bible verse for this week comes from the moment of Jesus' baptism, something that we studied yesterday. And maybe if you missed that, maybe you should go back to our archives and watch that episode. You can find our archives on YouTube, Facebook, podcast, and majority of them on Instagram as well. And how can you access to that? Well, visit our website, therescueworker.com, therescueworker.com. And there you'll have, on our website, you'll have access to all these platforms. So the memory verse for this week is, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. On this Bible verse, we see God being with Jesus, the Holy Spirit with him. We see that he's loved by God, and God has much pleasure on him. And that's beautiful. That is the relationship that God wants to have with us as well. A deep relationship with the under the power of the Holy Spirit, telling us every day that we are loved and he's happy, he's proud of us. So that's the way we should live out our lives as Jesus' apprentices. Today, as I mentioned, we'll be finishing chapter 3 with Jesus' ancestors. I think for the first time, I will not read all the verses, okay? I'll give you that challenge for you to do later. I'll probably point out to 2 verses or so, okay, and try to extract some major lessons. But today, I think there's an important message for us, and we need to prepare ourselves to receive this message. We need to prepare ourselves to be in God's presence. And I do believe that every time we go into Bible study, we are having an opportunity to go into God's presence. And being in God's presence, it is a wonderful blessing. We have an invitation to be in his presence all the time. Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. Yes, God has an invitation for you and for me to be in His presence, to experience His grace, His mercy. And we can do that every time we come into the Bible. If we position ourselves on that way, in a humble posture, to listen and appreciate God's voice. For that, I want to give you a minute for you to prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to meet with Jesus. So take this moment right now to prepare to hear God's voice and be in His presence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this day. Thank you for life and this opportunity that we have to study your Bible, your word for us. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to feel your presence. Help us to feel the touch of your loving arms and hands. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So you can have your Bible, your tablet, your cell phone, your computer. Turn now to Luke chapter 3. The verses that we are considering is verses 23 to 38. And in this way, we'll finish chapter 3. What we see on this major segment is Jesus' ancestors. And it is interesting because why Luke would put at the end of chapter 3 all the names of families and all the genealogy of Jesus? We don't know for sure. But some scholars suggest that maybe Luke is seeing the first three chapters as an introduction to the life of Jesus. He's introducing how he was expected and how he's related to the prophecies of the Hebrew Bible, the ministry of John as a preparation, the appearing of Jesus, and now he's baptized and received the Holy Spirit, received the confirmation from the Father, and now he starts his ministry. That's chapter 4. So as this introduction, it is important to give this genealogy, okay? So that's a way to see. So chapters 1 and 2 and 3 is just an introduction to Jesus' ministry, to Jesus himself. One thing that is very interesting on this genealogy, when we compare to the genealogy that appears in the book of Matthew, is that it's a little bit different. In Matthew, and that is the first segment of Matthew, Jesus' genealogy, the main goal is to present Jesus as the son or from the family of Abraham, David, the great names of the people of Israel, right? So Matthew is writing to the Jewish community about Jesus. So he's connecting Jesus to the Jewish roots, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and all that. He's trying to say that Jesus is the one promised in the Hebrew Bible. So because he has this perspective of telling the story of Jesus to a Jewish community, He tries to highlight the Jewish background. However, we have studied that the book of Luke is intended to be read and presented to those that are learning about Jesus, those that had just accepted Jesus, people that came from different ways of life that were not exposed to the Hebrew Bible. Luke is presenting Jesus to the Gentiles. So Jesus is presented as more inclusive Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. And we talk about that, how he includes women and foreigners and all that in his book, the outcast, the poor. And in Jesus' genealogy here, in the book of Luke, goes back not to Abraham. Yes, covers Abraham, covers David, covers the patriarchs. But the genealogy of Jesus finishes right here in the book, or starts with Adam. That's right, Adam. So if you turn to verse 38, the last two lines says, Seth was the son of Adam, and Adam was the son of God. So he brings back that Jesus is not only for the Jewish people, but Jesus for the humanity, because he goes back to the first one, Adam. Jesus is for everyone. And that's so beautiful. Jesus is not just for me, my group, my tribe. Jesus is for everyone. Jesus is for every way of life. Jesus is for every lifestyle. Jesus is for everyone. And that's so beautiful on this genealogy. But I think there's a very important point here, is that at the baptism, we see Jesus' identity. When God says, you are my son, and I'm pleased by you. Here, what we see at the end of the genealogy, the idea that Jesus, at the end of the day, is the Son of God. He comes from God, because Adam was created by God, therefore Jesus came from God. This idea that, yes, Jesus, through identity, is from God. Yes, we know here in the beginning of beginning of the genealogy, right? Verse 23 is the second part. Jesus was known as the son of Joseph, right? He was known, right? He was not the biological son of Joseph. Joseph was his legal father. When Jesus went to the Jerusalem, when he was 40 days of life, right? And he was presented before God. On the books of the temple, they put, okay, who's the father? And they put probably the name of Joseph. He was the legal father. But Jesus was not the son of Joseph. Joseph was known as his father, but his true father is God. And this genealogy presents that. So the genealogy includes all the people, and the genealogy presents Jesus as the Son of God. So that is so interesting. It is interesting as well that this genealogy has 77 names. 77 names. So what we see here, 11 cycles of 7. And that is the structure of this genealogy. 7 is an important number in the Bible, represents plenitude, fullness, wholeness, right? And it's very interesting because there is 11 cycles of 7, right? And there is 78 names if you see the name of God. So God would be, let's say, the 12th cycle, right? That would start the 12th cycle, the plenitude. So 7 times 12. So it is the fullness. And that's so beautiful, this structure. Yes, we have some issues here and there, because sometimes the Bible see sonship not as a way of biological inheritance, but as If you're obedient to someone, you are a son of that person. If you come from that family, you're a son of that person. Sonship is a little bit different in the Bible text. So we have some issues here and there. And again, I'm not here to try to understand all the names and details, try to contrast with Matthew and try to see any issues. That's not my goal. There's good Bible commentaries that I want to encourage you to have a look if that's your desire to understand and study that more. Because here, yes, we are after some information, but we are after an experience with Jesus. That's what we are after for. And it is exciting, the genealogy, but I want to pay attention with you in the minutes that are left at verse 23. And I want to spend with you a few minutes here. Okay, verse 23. In verse 23, we read, and again from chapter 3. Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry. I want to take some lessons from this verse. Here, somehow, Luke, he feels the importance to share the age of Jesus around his baptism and when he started his ministry. He was 30 years old. Luke was concerned to present the birth of Jesus after 8 days of his birth, the circumcision, then 6 weeks or 40 days, his presentation, then 12 years when he was in Jerusalem, going to the 13th year, the bar mitzvah, Jesus becoming the man according Jewish law, and now he's 30. It is interesting that in the Jewish culture, if you go to Numbers, I think 5, 4, or 4, 5, okay, in the book of Numbers, that the maturity of someone or the Jewish person was at the age of 30. At the age of 30, they were ready to start public life. So it is interesting because at age of 30, when Jesus was mature, according to the Jewish eyes, he started his ministry. But there's another point here important for us to keep in mind. I think when we talk about Jesus going to the temple and when he was 12 years old, I mentioned to you a little bit about the Jewish educational system. The Jewish educational system had 3 major segments, okay? The first segment from 5 to 12 years old, the second segment 12 or 13 years old to 16, and the third segment from 16 to 30 years old. So let me focus quickly here on each segment. On the first segment from 5 to 12, the main goal, the main book of study was the Torah. From 5 to 10 years old, a child was supposed to memorize the 5 first books of the Bible. And then from 10 to 12, he was supposed to learn what that meant, the words that they have memorized. So the main focus between 5 and 12 was the 5 first books of the Bible. When he was 12 years old, he will go through a test, a quiz, to select the best students to go to the second level. Not all the students would go to the second level. Only a few. Some scholars suggest around 10%. So in a class of 100, just 10 would go to the second level. And what was the goal of study during this second level from 12, 13 to 16 years old? Was the other books of the Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh. So they would study the historical books, the prophetic books, the prophets, and the Psalms, and Proverbs, and all those books. So at the end of the second level, so the first level, they study the first 5 books. On the second level, the other books. At the end of the second level, they would go to another quiz. A rabbi would come and quiz them. And some scholars would say that's just one from 100 would come out to the third and last level. You see, if you think that the selection process of universities and colleges today are tough, imagine Jesus' time. So from the first to the second, just 10%. And now one of 100 would go to the third level. And the third level was from 16 to 30 years old. And what was the main goal to study between 16 and 30 years ago? 30 years old. The life of the rabbi. So the rabbi would come and quiz, and the selected ones were invited to live with the rabbi. And what's the mentality? The mentality is that the Bible should impact people's life. Bible should impact the way we think, the way we behave, the way we deal, the way we resolve problems. The Bible supposed to impact the way we have our relationship with our spouse or our children, right? Is the practical life based on the Bible. So the rabbi would be a model for this student. So the student would move to the rabbi's house and live with him from 16 to 30 years of old. They would study the rabbi, how he deal with problems, how he handles his affairs with his wife, how he educates and raises his kids. So they can see a model on how the Bible is impacting and transforming someone's life. And interesting that for a student to be accepted and live with our rabbi, the rabbi would say a word, a kind of approbation letter, right? A statement saying, yeah, you are approved, now come and move with me. And the phrase could be translated in English as, come and follow me. And it's very interesting because that is what Jesus said to his disciples, come and follow me. Hey, come live with me, learn about my life, and emulate my life. Okay? So they would go through this process from year 16 to 30. What happened at the age of 30? Well, that student would become now a rabbi, and he would go after his own students, his own disciples. So at the age that Jesus reached of 30, that was supposed to a rabbi start recruiting his disciples, what we see is Jesus going after and calling people, come and follow me. Interesting that all the people that Jesus called to follow him, they were not on the educational system. That means they were they didn't go through the second or the third phase. Somehow they failed to go through. All went the first phase, but probably not the second or the third. So Jesus go after the outcast, the reject, those that couldn't meet the requirements, and invite them to come with him to have his life, his teachings, as a model for their life. So they could be disciples, emulation, imitating him and their lives. So Jesus, at the age of 30, he becomes his master as a model, a rabbi. And I think here has a beautiful lesson, because being a follower of Jesus is understand that he's a model for our lives. We need to behave like he behaved. We need to love like he loved, serve like he served. That is the goal of Jesus' apprentice, and that is the goal of this ministry, to bring awareness and help you to navigate this life of apprenticeship with Jesus Christ. Christ is our model. So if the way you're dealing with problems are not the way that Jesus deals with problems or dealt with problems, somehow you need to surrender and submit to Jesus' ways. If the way Jesus is dealing with people, the way you're dealing with people does not reflect the way Jesus did, you need to surrender. You see, Jesus is our model, our pattern, so we can follow his way. And that's crucial to understand. And that happened when Jesus started at 30 years of age. But there's something else. Did you know that the priests would start their ministry at the age of 30 and they would retire at the age of 55? So 30 years is maturity, start the public life, and the priests would start serving at the age of 30. And there was a ceremony of introduction of the starting of his ministry. And this service was based on the instructions that God gave to Moses to provide to Aaron how to start this ministry. And this ceremony for the priest at the age of 30 involved two elements, two major elements. Yes, they had to confess their sins. They had to go and take a bath of purification. And after the bath, they would be anointed with the oil, being separated for the priesthood, for the work at the temple. Interesting. Water and anointment. What we just read, what we read yesterday about Jesus, Jesus went through the process of water and the process of anointment with the anointment of the Holy Spirit. So at the age of 30, when the priests would start their ministry, Jesus start his ministry as a priest for us, interceding for us. And the intercession at the cross, he started his ministry at the age of 30. And that's beautiful. And we need to keep in mind, yes, Jesus is from the tribe of Judah by Joseph. But we know that by Mary, he has some blood of a Levite from the tribe of Levi, because Mary was related to Elizabeth, that was from the tribe of the Levites. So Jesus is the priest. He is our intercessor. And that is so important. So at the age of 30, when the priest would start his ministry, Jesus started his ministry at the age of 30. And Jesus must be our intercessor. What that means, I don't handle for myself my spiritual problems, my sinfulness. I cannot resolve that. I cannot justify myself. I need to rely in the priest, Jesus Christ, our intercessor, our sacrifice, our high priest that is interceding for us right now. So accepting Jesus as intercessor, as our priest, is saying, oh, I cannot handle my problem. I need to rely in God. It's not about salvation by works. It's salvation by grace. So at the age of 30, Jesus starts his priesthood, his ministry as a priest. That's beautiful. And I want to finish with a third thought. Who was the most important king of Israel? That the promise was made to him that from his house, the anointed one, the Messiah, would come. That's right, King David. And do you know what was the age that King David started ruling over Israel? That's right, 30 years of age. So what that means, the ruling of Jesus, the Messiah, the priest, the rabbi, the one that came to proclaim the kingdom of God, and the ruling of God, the ruling of Jesus starts when he was 30 years of age. The nature submit to his rulership. The demons submit to his rulership. He is the ruler. He is the king, governing and ruling on God's behalf. That is so powerful. So at the age of 30, Jesus became his ruling like his roots, David, at age of 30. So what we see here, yes, 30 is the age of maturity, but we see Jesus at 30 becoming, starting his ministry as a rabbi, like the other rabbis would start at 30. That Jesus started his ministry of priesthood like the other priests that would start at 30. That Jesus, at age of 30, like his father, King David, from the tribe of King David, start ruling at the age of 30. So Jesus must be our rabbi, our model. Jesus must be our priest, our intercessor, and Jesus must be the sovereign of our life, the ruler of our lives. So my question for you today is Jesus the model of your life? Are you trying to live the life of Jesus today through your life? Is Jesus the one that is the intercessor for you? Or do you try to resolve your sinful problems by yourself? Are you ruling? Are you having control of your life? Or you have surrendered to the sovereignty of God and Jesus Christ, to the rulership of Jesus the King? Jesus must be your rabbi, your intercessor, and your king. And being an apprentice of Jesus is saying, I have Jesus as my model, my rabbi. I'll live by his teaching, by his life, by his example. Being an apprentice of Jesus means that I accept him and his sacrifice for me on my behalf. I rely exclusively on his sacrifice. It's his righteousness that covers my impurity. And being an apprentice of Jesus is recognizing Jesus as the ruler of my life, the sovereign one, the king. Being an apprentice of Jesus is accepting his rulership, his lordship over our lives. Have you accepted Jesus as your rabbi, priest, and king? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for Jesus Christ and how he is our example, our model, our rabbi. We praise your name, how he is our priest, the one that intercedes for us. And I praise your name, how he is our king. Forgive our sins, Lord, when we didn't recognize Jesus as our model, our intercessor, and our ruler. And help us, Lord, to accept Jesus as our rabbi, our priest, and our king. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, are you ready for the questions for your reflection as you reflect and think about the Bible verses and maybe some of the information and aspects that I shared with you? Here are the questions for you. And the first question is, what is happening in this passage? What is stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and his kingdom? And in what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you as you fully surrender to Jesus, accepting him as your priest, as your king, and as your rabbi, your model. Tomorrow we start chapter 4, the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. A ministry that begins at the wilderness. And at the wilderness he faced many challenges with temptations. And then we'll move more and more to the life, purpose, identity of Jesus Christ. And our goal is to learn how to love, serve, and be like him. May God bless you, and I hope to see you tomorrow.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.